Hello and welcome to another episode of the Family Fix podcast. I am your host, Shannon Ican Lady Battle, and I am glad that you are with me today because we're the place where your problems find a new focus, healthy solutions, and consistent momentum. No matter how lost you may seem, there is a path with your guiding light, and I'm here to help you find it. We've been talking about a lot of different things, and the one subject that I do want to chime in from a mother and a clinical perspective, so I want y'all to roll with me a little bit. It is how music influences our children. Specifically, there's a new song, and I am not promoting the song, trust, but there is a song that has a wide viral spread that influences a lot of children to take challenges, and it is called WAP, W-A-P. And the song is a collaboration between Cardi B and Meg The Stallion. And in the song, it depicts some viral content that we know is completely inappropriate for adolescent childhood minds. However, there are a lot of kids that are actively involved in doing this WAP challenge. I want to kind of roll back before we really look at the song in itself. What I want to do today is just really help my parents to be able to understand the impact of influences that are surrounding our children, particularly those who are in the house, isolated from friends, and not doing the traditional routines that they're accustomed to, that gives them that circumspecting approach of life where they get to see life from all angles. Life right now is just very shielded to the bedroom walls, the living room walls, the kitchen walls, and probably back to the bedroom walls, and maybe going outside and smelling some fresh air. But their routines have been thrown off. We understand that kids are very impressionable, particularly those that are really, really young. That's when their brain is absorbing everything. They're like a freaking sponge, and anything you say, they'll repeat it. And you know, they're not understanding what it is that they're saying. So you got to be careful with them curse words, because they will go back and they will repeat it. We've seen the videos where the parent has been talking and the child says, "Get the F out of here," or something like that, you know. And that's just something that they heard. They didn't know anything about it, and they don't even know the impact of what it means. But they're regurgitating. They're repeating everything that they see, everything that they hear. So we know, according to studies that have been done, and there are many studies out there about the correlation of music and academic achievement. Music is known in the schools when children are learning how to read, how to play, that it actually helps with literary skills. It helps them with phonetic awareness. It helps to improve reading. It helps with academic success. There's something associated with, I guess, how to look at all of those notes and how they correspond, and how, you know, whatever it does, you know, there's research out there. It brings a positive impact. And with music doing a positive impact, I want to pose the question, is it possible that music can also negatively influence our children? Remember, we learn from our senses, what we see, those things that we're reading. That's why we have to really be careful what we allow to enter into our eye gate, because it really influences us. Even as adults, us watching the news all the time, think about everything that we see, all the negativity, and what conversations do you think we'll have as a result of that? What type of fears do you think we'll start walking in because of what we're entertaining through our eyes? And there's nothing to counter that. There's nothing to help with that level of subjectivity to bring us back in to where we're not operating in doom and gloom. And then we also process information from what we hear. You got to remember, you know, sometimes it seems like it may go in one ear and out the other, but you got to know that it's going in. And even though we say it's going in and out, there's a gap in between there that it filters through and processes before it comes out the other end. So think about it. You're listening to something, and just say you're riding in your car, and then all of a sudden you listen to an old Luther Vandross song, "A House Is Not a Home" or something. And then that music goes into the ear. You were thinking about something else, but because the correlation of that song brings back, feel good memories, makes you to, you know, intrinsic stuff that stirs you up, and it takes you to another place. It takes you to a place that, you know, gives you some peace, some solitude, and it just helps your dopamine that goes on in your head, the chemicals and all of that, just make you feel really good, right? And then you start, you know, cruising with it, singing along with the words, and all of that is filtering. You're not telling the song to make you feel that way. The song already had that natural impact of doing that, whether you've heard it recently or you heard it 15, 20 years ago. Regardless, it filtered somehow in your brain and it triggered a response. It made you feel good. Then there are those songs that you listen to when you want to be in your feelings and when you want to feel some type of way. We know that. When we don't want to feel very lovely or in love with our spouse, our partner, whatever, then, you know, we will play some hardcore type songs to get us in that mood, to help keep that mood heightened, because we don't want to come down from that elevated level of, you know, piss me off and I don't want to fool with you. You know, we want to stay there. We want to stay in that mood that keeps us, you know what? I'm not gonna let you get away with this. I'm not gonna change my mood, you know. So I'm gonna find something that helps me to cushion this mood. And we'll come on and we'll play a song, you know. My daughter, she loves this song by Jasmine Sullivan called "I Bust the Windows Out Your Car." And I'm like, why do you like that song? She said, because I can envision it. She's never had a boyfriend. She's never busted a window. But yet she's fascinated by the pictorial image that comes with the music. And then the way the music sounds like it's like an orchestra with it. She's related to music that she's heard in school because she plays piano. So I think all of that has influence on, you know, what she projects outward of what's been filtered into her head. And that is not just for her, because she's my kid. That's for a lot of children. And there's always been a big debate that music does not have that type of influence. It's just based on how a person perceives. But when you talk about an underdeveloped maturity, an underdeveloped mind that's still growing, what do you think is happening when they're constantly subjected to words that influence their pictorial view, their perception of how they deal and how they perceive relationships and interactions and other things? It has an impact on them. And no one, of course, the artists who are singing and delivering the music, they would never say, okay, well, you know, yet my music is has a negative impact on children. No, they'll just say, you know, I just got grown people's music. But yet you have music that even on its the clean version, which isn't as the explicit, it still gives room for interpretation to lead someone to go try to find out, you know, what really is behind this. So I said that to Bill to help us understand the impact of what your children listen to. So initially in the song, it starts off, there's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. And then it has the beat that goes with it, right? So initially it has that school age toddlerish type rhythm to getting you the repetitiveness to be able to get you, you know, rolling in momentum with what's getting ready to flow through the song. So when it's repetitive, then you're going to keep repeating that, even on the instances where they're not singing something, because why? We learn through repetition. That's why we sing what? ABCs, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We sing those things. So it starts off there's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. And then so old girl comes straight up and says, I'm a certified freak 7 days a week. And then the wet a punani make that pullout game week. So you have the kids that are dancing. You have mothers, parents that are dancing to this. I'm watching it on TikTok. And I really am floored at the mothers that are setting that example for their daughters. And the reason why I say that is if we look at the news, if we are fighting to show that we are more than just, you know, a sex symbol, we are fighting to show that, you know, we drive people to us. We're magnetic, not because we're sexual, but because, you know, there may be a mystery to us, but we're very intelligent. We're very brilliant people. Isn't it funny how before you do an interview, if you're going to go and do a Zoom or get on TV, how for a woman, we have to get really made up and we have to do so much to make sure that we're presentable on the camera. But then a man show up to get on the camera and he might get a couple dabs of powder. It's too easy for them. We're always having to make ourselves up, right? And for those who don't, then they look like, you know, they don't compete with the ones that can illuminate an image. What images do you think are illuminating when you play this song around your children? Think about it. So if they're telling you, yeah, you know, you effing with some wet a punani, bring a bucket and a mop for this wet a punani. First of all, your punani should not be that wet. If it is, you need to change your drawers very often because it is soiled and that stinks. And that is just not something where, you know, it should be that profound where you would really want to sing about that. Yeah, it might be a little bit nasty. That's all I'm saying. But nevertheless, for a child that knows no better, that hasn't been a grown woman too long to know that, that ain't right. Women, we already know what, you know, they can do what you got to be checking some things. You know, you got that stuff going on like that. But, you know, you're telling, you know, okay, guy, beat it up. Okay, beat it up. So, what does beat it up encourage if you're singing in this song, even if it's on an adult level? And then a guy is hearing that. He's thinking that's what a woman wants. He's thinking that, okay, these are women that are in spotlights. These are women who are mothers. These are women who are married. If this is what goes on, you know, in the music, then this is probably what also translates behind a bedroom in a relationship. And what woman wants to be with a man that's always just beating it up? There, you know, you got to really understand the background and who this music, what it perpetuates, who it's influencing. It's not influencing, you know, your stable households, corporate American people who can, you know, have a different perception. Oh, you know, this is just play imagery. But this is really how people form and shape their lives. This is how young women begin to develop and engage and explore in relationships. This is how young women, you know, allow themselves to be in relationships with men that think like this, because men have been ingrained to think that, well, you know, you dance, you pop off to this type of music, then, you know, that's probably what you like. So if you have a younger child, school age, and they're doing the video, you're laughing, you're having fun, and yeah, you can move to it, but the song that you're moving to has these type of lyrics, what type of people do you think are going to follow you? Do you think that that young child is now putting them in a position to where that they'll be continuously harassed, that people will want more because it's eye candy, it's appealing, it draws? That's why this song has so much attention, because now, you know, it has created an insatiable appetite, and an appetite where, you know, what sells in this industry? Sex. And unfortunately, you look at people in the industry, they got jacked up relationships too. You know, when we're looking at how well they manage their own personal relationships, they go through domestic violence. Heck, the woman that collaborated on the song getting shot up, you know, by a man. We really have to be very careful about how we allow ourselves to be portrayed and how we pass that on to other people. We never asked to be role models. I know I heard a basketball player say that many years ago. I didn't ask to be a role model. No, you didn't, but you're in a spotlight. And there's a responsibility that comes with that spotlight. So I just wanted to encourage you all, just in saying those first, you know, few verses of the song, you know, really listen to it. And then think about what your child is listening to and how they're processing that. What if they were to role play that? Say you take them to the playground and they begin to role play that. You know, we always let them role play when it comes to cops, robbers, when it comes to firefighters and saving people and, you know, fairy, fairy godmothers and things like that and Black Panthers. But this is also an image that can be duplicated and it can be role played. Is this the role play that you want your daughter and your little son, school age, engaging in? So it's just something to think about when you are, and I'm not saying just this song, you know, take some time to listen to what your children are listening to. Take some time to also understand what it is that they're doing in their free time. They have a lot of free time away from you. They're on their computers a lot. It's our job to make sure that we get them talking. If they've heard it, let them ask questions, because they're going to talk about it with their friends, or they're going to try to learn about it by putting things together and they don't have the whole picture. So have these conversations with your kids so that you can be a greater impact and influence in their lives and how they're developing and becoming responsible, productive adults. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. We have a lot that's coming up. If you have some suggestions on things we should talk about, make sure you send me an email. You can go to the website, www.shannonbattle.com. And on the website, you know, just drop an email and just, you know, let us know, comment, you know, how you're feeling about some of the things that we've talked about. Remember, this is about building the family. It's not about bringing anyone down, but it's about learning through things, talking about things. We talk about those elephants in the room, and we make sure that we build strong, healthy families. So you don't have to be calling me on another note talking about, I can't take care of my kid. Can you put them in your foster care home? Because that happens. You lose control. So we want you to be able to maintain control over the seeds that God has gifted you with, and then just have a flourishing home. And then, you know, when you look at them, that's your reward. How they grow up, how they look, you know, how they respond, how they handle situations, how they, you know, you see if their resilience when they become adults, you see how effective your parenting was as they grew up. So again, sharing is caring. Make sure you share this episode with someone so that we can continue to grow. We have a goal that we're trying to hit. My birthday is in the month of September, and I definitely want to hit at least 1,000 more downloads as a birthday gift. So if you are willing to help me in that journey, make sure that you share this on iTunes, Spotify, or whatever platform that you listen to. And let's just continue, you know, to enjoy this ride. Thank you for taking this time with me. And until the next episode, you all have peace in your decisions. Make sure you maintain your focus and surround yourself with people that love you, because you are the gift of love. Thank you, and I'll see you on the next episode.